Oh, yeah. Every book I buy, I'm buying for my community specifically. I'm curating a gallery of books that I know that they will like. And then we have people who work here who can not only help them find those books, but tell them about them, direct them in places they might not have searched on their own. You know, just Googling on Amazon, you're definitely not going to get as much help finding an amazing book as you will if you come to our store. You're just not.
That's the word from Books, Inc., a leading independent bookseller in the San Francisco Bay Area. We'll be talking with Sarah Vanderswag, Annie Cake, and Skylar Baker from Books, Inc. in Berkeley in just a moment. But first, let me welcome you to Inside Independent Publishing with IBPA. Thanks very much for streaming in. I'm an independent publisher, and I'm your host, Peter Goodman. Inside Independent Publishing comes to you from IBPA, the Independent Book Publishers Association. IBPA's mission is to lead and serve the independent publishing community through advocacy, education, and tools for success. For more about IBPA and how it can help you be a better publisher and sell more books, whatever kind of publisher you are, go to ibpa-online.org. You can also tweet questions and comments to me at the handles at Peter Goodman or at IBPA. Now, let's get started. Books, Inc. is an independently owned and operated bookseller with 11 locations in the San Francisco Bay Area. Two in the East Bay, a few in San Francisco, and more down the peninsula as far as San Jose. Its history traces back to 1851, and it is now a strong and very proud defender of the indie bookseller tradition. Very much beloved by its customers and continuing to provide events and intellectual offerings to its neighborhoods. And today I'm speaking with several people from the Books, Inc. store in Berkeley. Skylar Baker is the manager, Sarah Vanderswag is the restock buyer, and Annie Keg is the event coordinator. So welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
It's good to be here.
Great. Thanks. So I've got a lot of questions. Independent publishers and independent booksellers kind of share the same ecosystem. It's really great, actually, to have an indie bookseller represented here on the podcast. And really, you know, maybe being an independent bookseller is a bit like being an independent publisher, swimming in a sea of competitors with all who have a lot more money than we do, but holding on tenaciously and hoping that people see value in what we do. I think most of the people listening to this podcast are independent publishers, and many are very, very small, maybe with just one or two books and without a master distributor like PGW or IPG. They would really like to get their books in your store and maybe even have a book signing. And I wonder, can you help them?
Certainly we can help them. Generally, the first thing I do to evaluate whether or not I'm taking a book into the store, this is Sarah speaking, by the way, is I look at our wholesale and distributors. So Ingram and Baker & Taylor are our main wholesale suppliers, and actually a lot of independently published books are on there, self-published as well. I'm not totally clear on the process of getting your book on there, but I know it is relatively easy. So the big determiner for me is the discount I'm getting. If it's the standard discount, then I can happily bring it in. That's super easy. You just call the store, tell me your book exists, I'll look at it. It's very simple. But if it's a different discount than my standard, generally I refer them to our consignment program.
Okay, so I do want to talk about consignment, but before we get to that, is it really as simple as someone calling the store and saying, hey, I've got a book, will you look at it?
Absolutely. People will come in all the time to bring in their books to the store. And a lot of the time, no matter who's up at the register, we have the ability to look it up, see if it's on iPage, and then order it in.
And just to be clear, iPage is the
Ingram
it's
website.
The Ingram, right? So if Ingram has it as a in their wholesale selection, then they can easily order from there. Now, what happens if you don't see it on iPage?
So in that case, we have a consignment program. And we have packets available, again, at the register. Any staff member can instruct the author on this. Basically, they just have to read it and then submit an application. So they just need to provide basic details on the book, including a marketing plan. So that's important so that we know that they are doing outreach and that they are actively seeking to get people to buy the book. That kind of helps me determine if it's a good investment on our end. And then I basically go through a review process. I read generally the first chapter or so to get an idea of the quality. I make sure it has the industry standards like an ISBN. It's well-bound. It kind of, you know, looks proper. And then if I like it, which most of the time I do, I will email them back. I'll ask them to come in with another copy for me to put on this, onto the floor. And then they will need to pay a small consignment fee. And then they're pretty much good to go. It's a three-month program.
And at the end of the 3 months, you maybe you order more books, or you return the books that didn't sell, or you send them a check for the ones that did?
Generally, yes. If a book starts selling early into the consignment, I will email and ask for more. I'll restock as it's selling. So it's not necessarily like that I'll wait until the 3 months. But if after 3 months there have been no sales, generally I will say, hi, you know, thank you so much for consigning with us, but it's, you know, now we have to make room for new consignments. So they can either pick up the books if they want, or we will donate them. We'll take care of them if they're not interested in picking them back up.
So one of the questions I had, I know that, you know, a lot of bookstores have local author shelves, and that's kind of a draw in and of itself to people who come in shopping there. Is it possible if, say, someone lives in Kansas City, Missouri, to call you and still have a consignment?
Yeah, of course. We actually have a consignment from a Scottish author right now.
Ah,
sometimes
okay.
Local friends or neighbors who are based in our area, and so it makes perfect sense for us to carry their book.
Right. So when you make a decision for your store, Berkeley, does that apply to the other stores in Books, Inc.?
It does not. Each store runs their own consignment program, so there's no guarantee that if something works at our store, it will work at another location. We each have different customer bases, and so it needs to be a store-by-store basis.
Right. Okay. So in the case of someone dealing with Books, Inc., they'd have to come up with, you know, almost a dozen different separate pitches. And obviously, that's a lot of work. So I imagine the authors choose their stores rather strategically and probably end up going to the local store, maybe where they know the manager or feel a good vibe or connection with the store. You can see the challenge, though, from a small publisher's perspective with, I don't remember what the number of independent booksellers is in the States, but it's, you know, in the several thousands. What would incline you to purchase that book, to bring it into your store? Because obviously you cannot bring in every single book purchased in the United States.
Yeah, the two main factors are the discount and if we can return the book. So we just pretty much cannot bring in books not on consignment if I can't return them. It's very important for inventory management,
right,
for us to be able to send back any book that I bring in. So with consignment, that kind of inherently has a return in it because, you know, at the end of the 3 months, a return is a given. But if it's just a normal book that is returnable and it's the regular discount and it's on Ingram and for whatever reason it's not the kind of author calling in because we're their local bookstore, it's a different scenario, it needs to be something that I'm reading about, because I do a lot of research every day on titles that are out there that I, for whatever reason, have missed. And so really it is about outreach and it's about really doing a lot of marketing on their own, I believe, in terms of getting on the radar. There's a lot of really great websites, LitHub, Shelf Awareness, that I check every day. And that's really my main source of getting information about which books to bring in.
A publisher, then, it's not enough to have their book available in Ingram. They have to actually be doing something to support it. And you mentioned Shelf Awareness, and I guess getting a review in PW would help if they can do something like that. Being on the radio, I guess, having interviews, getting reviews, is it mostly a lot of pre-publication stuff, or is it even post-publication stuff can make a difference as well?
Yeah, both, definitely both.
Post-publication also and author outreach will also go a long way in terms of author events. Events are always most successful when we see authors with a strong social media presence or authors that make that concerted marketing effort to reach out to friends and family. Or if they have a functional website that really engages other people, if they network really well, all of these things contribute greatly to the success of a book long after it's published.
And in terms of an author getting an event at your store, would it make a big difference to say, I can bring my my entire class of fourth graders or their parents.
Very much so, yes.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So you kind of expect the authors to sort of pitch an event with some degree of participation or attendance. Not guaranteed so much, but possible. In other words, you don't want the author to just leave it entirely up the store.
Precisely.
Exactly.
And Books Inc. and a large, I mean, most bookstores will also have their own avenues of outreach. So we have a monthly newsletter that's printed. We have Facebook. We have Twitter. We have an Instagram.
Posters.
We have posters in store displays. So we are doing a large amount of outreach for each event that we do and for each author that we promote. However, despite that, we always see more successful events, better attendance, and frankly, a lot better energy when the author is really, really engaged in the community that they're in and the community that they're bringing. It's fantastic to see. We've had some really, really great events with people who just bring out their community in droves. It's great.
And that goes across the board. That's not just independent publishers or self-published works. That's from big publishers as well and even big names. Like, every author needs to do this. It's for everybody.
Right. And I think a lot of authors don't realize how much work you folks put into these events. So you often end up asking for what's called co-op, some sort of maybe it's a participation fee in a way. Is that the case at your store?
Well, that's never the case with a consignment book. You know, we sort of work with the author and try to let them know the best to do this outreach. Certainly social media, talking to friends and family, even letters to the family.
Do the co-op fees that you charge or require, are they in the neighborhood of like $50 to $75?
It varies depending on the publisher. At this stage, you know, co-op money, that's not necessarily very common for all publishers that we do events with.
Right.
Certainly like the big six, but that's not always something that we can sort of depend on to help support the marketing. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure, I think that's the case that a lot of, you know, it will depend on the publisher and will depend on the book and the specific event. I was making the point just that it's not unusual for stores to ask for authors to help support their marketing efforts, particularly if they've got a newsletter that they are mailing out to several thousand people. Those things don't happen without a cost. You know, I've heard various you know, store people say that book events are not as important or as easy as they used to be. Do you find that to be the case there, or you still have a very, very strong events program with a lot of participation?
Well, I find that our Books Inc. events are still very strong, especially in our Opera Plaza locations. We've had a lot of big names. Here at Berkeley, we've had Michael Chabon, E.E. Schwab, Michael Pollan, Annie Barrows, Lucy Jane Bledsoe. We've had, and for all of those authors, the attendance is pretty phenomenal. We average from anywhere between like 25 to 100. For the really big names, it can be quite a few people that come.
Yeah, and I can say that on the whole for the year, which we do average just over one event per week, we've seen over 2,000 people come into the store for those events who might not have otherwise come in, and that's one of the goals.
That's great.
Similarly, even for the events that aren't quite as well attended, it's the most important thing for me as the event coordinator is to see authors making individual connections to the people that read their work, resonate with their work, and love their work. And that's getting to see our literary community grow and people engage with literature in a way that's maybe unexpected but still important is great. It's a really fulfilling part of doing events, and I'm really glad that Books Inc. can still do those.
Yeah, as are all the authors who are able to do them there. And that is one of the big changes, I guess. I mean, booksellers have always done events, but you folks, particularly Books Inc., I think, are much more plugged into the communities now as a kind of a business strategy, you know, to differentiate yourself from chains, and particularly from a place like Amazon, which obviously sells tons and tons of books, but it's all very much at one remove from you know, a human heartbeat of, you know, one person talking to another. And that's a real strategy for you folks, isn't it?
Oh yeah, every book I buy, I'm buying for my community specifically. I'm curating a gallery of books that I know that they will like. And then we have people who work here who can not only help them find those books, but tell them about them, direct them in places they might not have searched on their own. You know, just Googling on Amazon, you're definitely not going to get as much help finding an amazing book as you will if you come to our store. You're just not.
Right. Indie booksellers tend to be a little smaller in terms of their square footage than they were maybe 20 years ago, meaning that inventory management, I guess, is a lot more essential to the success of the store, meaning in turn that there might be a lot of books that you'd like to bring in, but you can't. So when something is on that edge, it's like, should I bring it in, should I not? What are some of the things that you think make you decide in favor of, and that maybe a publisher could take to heart and say, well, I really should work on this aspect of it because that's what people are looking for?
Number one for me is diversity. Is do we have anything else like this in the store? Who's being represented? Whose voice is being given a platform? I really will give many books a chance just because they deserve it, because we don't have much else like it, and because I want to reach aspects of our community that weren't previously being reached. So that's huge. Again, if there are reviews, Kirkus reviews, any media outreach at all, there's any kind of notice of it, that's a huge element because it means that somebody out there likes it, people are responding warmly, and that maybe people will have heard of the title before. If I have a staff member who is interested in that author or that topic, I will talk to them about the book and see if they're interested in reading it. There are a lot of ways. And on a book-by-book basis, bringing in one unit isn't so bad. I have room to do that versus if I'm bringing in 6 to 10 of something, that's a very different story. But there's definitely room to try a book, and if it doesn't work, I'll send it back.
I think a lot of the small independent publishers, particularly author publishers who they only have one book and maybe this is their first one out, they're kind of overwhelmed by all the stuff that the industry demands of them. And so they go to an easy place like Amazon. Amazon used to have CreateSpace, which they've discontinued and now kind of switched over to another sort of program. But when you are approached by an author who says, well, my book is available through Amazon, that's kind of a no-no in right? That's not going to help them work with you.
Yeah, that's not our favorite thing to hear. You know, but the school bully has my book, you know, or whatever, like that. Yeah. And then sometimes they get angry with me as well, because I don't buy from Amazon. I'm not buying from Amazon.
Right,
so if
right.
it's there and it's nowhere else, there's nothing I can do. And then, so there's kind of indignation of not understanding really that there's not overlap between us and Amazon.
But if an author is forced to, just because the economies of printing and whatnot, to go the print-on-demand route, there are alternatives, right? Like Ingram has Lightning Spark, right? That they could...
Ingram Spark is highly recommended. It is, like, beat-for-beat comparable to what CreateSpace was. It's exactly as easy to use, and it is much more small press friendly and small bookstore friendly.
Well, they're going to be happy to hear this. Tell me a little bit about that, because I Ingram is actually one of the big supporters of IBPA, and we've been very aware of Ingram Spark for quite a while, and I know a lot of the members would be able to make use of that. Anything specific as far as your experience with Ingram Spark and how responsive they are in terms of delivery, returnability, cost, that sort of thing?
The distribution is probably the biggest advantage from when that can be set up, I would say. But also, you know, the quality tends to be higher when we see them. We've got really positive feedback from authors talking about their own experience working with it, Ingram's responsiveness, dependability. That's probably the one we recommend the most to folks, just from what we've heard back about it.
I understand that Lightning Stores, which I assume is the printer for most of the Ingram Spark stuff, they now have a plant in Fresno. So it's possible, I think, for you to order a print-on-demand book and maybe have it in your store within 2 or 3 days.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty remarkable. What are just a couple things that an author should... That's really kind of a turnoff to you, like barging in unannounced or... like you mentioned before, like not understanding how the business works. What are some of the things an author could really do wrong to, you know, make it difficult in the very beginning?
When there is a lot of insistence in the early stages, all I need is the application. I don't need anything beyond that. And sometimes I get a lot of repeated emails and a lot of expectations of not only acceptance of the book, but what we're like displaying it. For example, a lot of consignment authors expect face-outs. They expect prominent displaying. And just at our store, we have other, there's a lot of things that go into deciding what's being faced out, what's being displayed. Hardly ever is it going to be consignment. It might be, but there's not, we cannot promise that. And sometimes authors get really angry or upset about that. Understandable. Their books are there, are very important to them, and they're the ones advocating for it, but we're not the people to kind of take that vitriol out on. And then some people don't understand the fee, which, again, I understand they're just asking us to sell their book, and then we're telling them they need to pay a fee, and they say, well, I don't want to do that. But really, the right way to think about it is that they are renting our shelf space, and so they have to pay a fee. That, you know, you rent your apartment, you have to pay for that. Where I'm going to put your book, I could have put a different book that maybe we would sell more of. So I'm taking a risk, taking up some of my shelf space for your title. I'll do it because I support my community and I support your book, but, you know, our store still needs to make some money off of this. So that's something that sometimes people get, they don't really understand.
Yeah, Peter, one thing I would say is a lot of times these are first-time authors who really don't understand how the system works, and when they come in here and they're presented with certain realities, like the staff doesn't wait to read every book that comes in the door, you know, we choose what we're going to face out, stuff like that. But that then presents them with challenges they didn't expect. And we do encounter a lot of them becoming frustrated and difficult to work with. But in the end, that's not going to help their book either. The more consignment authors were to actually educate themselves before they come into the door of a bookstore, that's probably the biggest key to them being successful in a bookstore. And a lot of them don't read it.
Last question. Do you find the overall physical look and feel of these small indie books, whether they're small independent publishers or author publishers, do you find that the quality is improving over the years, or looking better covers, more professional typography, that sort of thing?
You know, on the whole, it's hard to say that that's true. You would think that services have gotten better, but we still see, you know, a wide range of quality in the books that come in. So yeah, that would be hard to say.
I see.
It definitely is important, though. So as much as a person can control, especially the readability of the cover, that's huge. It doesn't need to be the most beautifully designed cover, but it needs to be clear. Sometimes there's font overlaid on a very like crazy background, and you can't even tell what the title is. And I think people don't really necessarily think that through as much as it would be good to think through.
And a really bad cover could be a real turnoff, and you would simply say, I'm not going to take this. Is that right?
I might still, but it might not sell well. And it definitely looks self-published. You know, you want to kind of try to make it look not self-published, not to make that a bad phrase, you know, but you want to kind of make it look as much like an industry standard book as possible.
Okay, well, these are great tips and good feedback, and I really appreciate especially honest feedback, because I think it's a very competitive environment, and everyone really has to be working at the top of their game in order to make success and not waste anyone else's time. So very good. I have been talking today with Sarah Vanderswag, Annie Keg, and Skylar Baker from Books, Inc. in Berkeley. Guys, I really appreciate your taking the time to talk to me today.
Thank you as well. It's been wonderful to speak with you.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks again to Skylar, Sarah, and Annie from Books, Inc. for their comments. I've got a couple takes on what they said and what that might mean for publishers listening to this podcast, but first, let me correct one mistake. It is Ingram Spark, not Lightning Spark. And I hope I'll be forgiven for getting the name wrong, since you heard all the nice things said about them on the show. Check the podcast notes for a link to the Ingram Spark website. So my first take. Over several decades in publishing, I've developed a bit of skepticism when I hear independent booksellers tell me that they are a friend of independent publishers. Yes, we occupy the same ecosystem, but too often, publishers and booksellers seem to be at odds over one thing or another, often having to do with money, but maybe just as often having to do with access to the shelf and to the customer, or returns. So it was really refreshing to hear how welcoming Books Inc. is to authors and to publishers, whether they're in the distribution system via Ingram or just offering books on consignment. The key to acceptance there is terms. Is it returnable and is it available at a discount? And diversity. Does it offer a subject the store doesn't have yet or that is underrepresented? And third is quality. Is it bound well? And does it have an ISBN and all the other things expected of a professionally published book? Hit those three marks and you've got as good a chance as anyone, at least at Books Inc. Needless to say, it's not easy hitting those marks. And that brings me to the second point, which came as a bit of a shock to me at the end of the interview. I asked, are indie published books and author published books improving in quality over the years? Nah, you can't really say that, was the answer. And that was deeply discouraging news, coming as it did from a professional bookseller, but it was brutally honest too, and it shows that we all still have a lot of work to do. Year after year at IBPA, we hammer home the message about producing up to industry standards. And IBPA now even has a checklist so you can make sure your book ticks all the boxes. If you belong to IBPA, there frankly is no excuse anymore for producing an inferior looking product. So I am hoping that those authors presenting schlock to the buyers at Books Inc. and getting miffed when they couldn't get a face out display and resentful when the store had to charge a reasonable consignment fee for shelf space, well, I hope those authors and publishers are not IBPA members, but I hope they will become members and learn how to publish and be taken seriously by their peers and by readers. So I was discouraged, as I thought we were in a better place, but not disheartened. Publishing well is not magic. It's hard work. And as long as there are booksellers out there who appreciate what we do and at the same time give us honest critiques, then we are in a good place to do better and to get rewarded for our efforts. Once again, I'm your host, Peter Goodman from Stonebridge Press. To comment on this podcast, tweet to me using the handle @PeterGoodman or @IBPA. Just a reminder, if you're already a member of IBPA, we appreciate your support and be sure and let us hear from you. If you'd like to learn more about IBPA or are considering joining, check out the IBPA website at ibpa-online.org. Thanks for listening to Inside Independent Publishing. Keep your nose in that book. And as my bosses in Japan used to say, let's have publishing fun.